everybody, welcome to episode 186 of the Anchor Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, after a week off due to some computer problems, we are back with another podcast this week. We're going to talk some Ankeny baseball later on, but right now, we're going to recap the girls' state soccer tournament with my first guest. He is an assistant coach for Ankeny Centennial, and he helped guide the Jaguars to the third state title in the last six seasons earlier this month. He's Peter Rame. Peter, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Thank you, Dan. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the state title. I know you guys had your team banquet on the Sunday night, the day after the tournament ended, so I'm sure that was a festive affair. You guys had so much to celebrate. It was really an incredible finish to an outstanding season, wasn't it?
It was great. You know, one of the things we'll never forget, just the way it came through for us, and we'll talk about this here a little bit later, but great run. Girls did a great job. Coach Allen had them prepared and ready to go.
Well, your team had to survive a PK shootout against Johnston in the regional final just to advance to the state tournament. And in that shootout, you guys actually trailed 1-0 after each team had taken its first attempt. So, you know, we're looking good at that point. But do you think surviving that shootout turned out to be a good thing for your team? Because, you know, you guys were certainly battle-tested going into state.
You know, it helped us for the second shootout we had in that run. But the girls were not ready to get the season, you know, over with. They wanted to fight and get through it and advance to the state tournament. So they did so with a good effort and battle, you know, all the way through.
Well, the way the state tournament shook out, you guys were able to avenge all three of your losses during the regular season to Waukee Northwest, Valley, and then Council Bluffs Lincoln. So it was really a storybook ending to go on that revenge tour. Did you ever imagine when the tournament started that the bracket would fall that way? Because I certainly expected Ankeny to be in the final.
You know what? We did call it the revenge tour. And before I get into things, we made it count. But it was in the back of our, you know, head. We wanted to see the teams we lost to early in the year. And my God, it was amazing how it fell for us. You know, it was the reverse order, but it was the three losses we had. And, you know, we came through with the wins.
Well, you guys opened the tournament with a 2-1 victory over Waukee Northwest, and you definitely had to deal with some adversity in that opening game. I know Coach Allen told me that you had some players get banged up in that practice the day before, so you had to make some lineup changes, didn't you?
We did, and, you know, that's where we make it count, our TFP, Team Family Passion, that comes through with, you know, what we had to do. The girls stepped up and played for each other, and, you know, we came through with that win, and, you know, we healed a little bit, but we were still banged up.
Well, your team has so much depth, and in that game, you guys got goals from McKenna Hilton and Ava Martin. You know, and that was just a case of two girls stepping up when you needed them, wasn't it?
Yes, they did step up, and, you know, at practice, Coach Allen, he stresses that, you know, play like you're going to be in the lineup. Be ready to go if we need to, and sure enough, they were there.
Well, then in the semifinals, you guys faced a huge challenge in defending champion and top-ranked Valley, which entered the day with a 37-game winning streak. That team had been so dominant in winning the title last year, and, of course, they were undefeated this season. So going into that game, you know, how much confidence did you have in your team? What did you think was going to be the key to beating them?
You know, we had to play our game for one thing. We had to attack the way we planned and defend them well, and we did take away their best player, you know. And then when it came to the shootout, you know, Kate came through and our girls made their kicks, and it was a good win. Very, very good team. All three teams who played in the tournament, actually.
Well, we'll break down that shootout here in a minute, but took a 1-0 lead on a beautiful goal by Avery Galloway, and then she nearly scored again in the 16th minute, but your keeper, Kate Bergen, was able to punch the ball away. And, you know, and that was just a huge save there, because I think if they had scored there, I'm not sure you guys could have come back from 2-0 down.
No, it's tough, you know, to come back from a 2-0 lead, you know, deficit, but we knew the girls were really focused. I mean, they were really, really into it, and they wanted to prove something, and they did.
Well, just a few minutes later, Martin scored the tying goal off a corner kick, and then it was just a back-and-forth battle the rest of the way, with neither team being able to convert any of their opportunities. You know, as the game was heading to a shootout, did you feel good about your chances at that point, since you had just won that shootout against Johnson?
You know what? I did. Kate is a very good goalie, and she was so focused and knew what she had to do. And usually, you know, when we go into a shootout, Allen takes the field players. I take the goalie, since I coach that position too. And, You know, in the Johnson game, her and I talked, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what we said, but we do have a, you know, plan there when it comes to shootout or PKs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that game, we talked, and she listened. She was ready to go, and sure enough, she did a great job, amazing job. I've never seen this happen throughout my life watching soccer at any level, but I would like to research.
Oh, bet. Well, yeah, I'll tell you what happened here. You guys missed your first two kicks, but each time, you know, Kate came up with a big save to keep the score tied. And then after Hilton and Avery Porter converted your next two kicks, Kate came up with two more saves to seal the deal. You know, and like you said, that was just incredible what she did. I don't think I've ever seen a shootout where the keepers made every single, you know, attempt. And you don't think you have either, huh?
I have not, but I want to research and, you know, find out, was this the first one at any level? If not, then maybe it went to more than the four, but they maybe made five saves. Who knows?
Well, I know Kate is very explosive, and that obviously, you know, helps her to get to the ball. But if you don't know where the shooter is going with the kick, you know, it really doesn't matter how explosive you are. It just seems like she has that knack for being able to see where they're going to go, doesn't she?
She does. She does. And, you know, she was so focused. You can tell if you watch that again. You know, usually the referee says, goalie, are you ready? And, you know, a lot of people, you know, will look and take their eye away from the ball. But she was focused on the ball and gave him thumbs up every time and was ready to go.
Well, I'm sure it was tough to come down from the high of that victory. But you guys did have an extra day to prepare for the championship game, you know, under the new format with this year's tournament. Do you think that extra day helped your team to get, you know, refocused for that championship game?
You know, at that point, everybody's playing the same amount of games and the same amount of days and all of that. But it depends on the teams you are playing also, but an extra day helped us a lot. We had film, you know, we had a walkthrough, and Coach Allen broke it down. He's, you know, he told them this is what we need to do offensively, defensively, and the girls were ready. I mean, they were wanting it.
Well, yeah, then in the final, you guys pretty much dominated in a 2-0 win over Council Bluffs Lincoln, and that avenged the last of your three losses this season. Your defense really shut down Lincoln forward Hannah Schimmer, who entered the game as the Class 3A scoring leader with 44 goals. And I know you guys had Ellie Street man-mark Schimmer, and Ellie and the rest of the defense, you know, they just really stepped up, didn't they?
You know, that's a great defense we had there, and Ellie stepped up. She had a great, great tournament. You know, the whole team did, but to shut down some of the top players we faced in those three games. And then, you know, you got to give it away to the other three defenders because you got to play well together back there and communicate. And then our midfield, our, you know, holding mid and Ella Becker also. I mean, that was tremendous effort by all of them. Courtney, she had an amazing tournament.
And I'll ask about her here in a minute. Avery Porter took care of the scoring with a pair of goals in a 2-minute span midway through the first half. Now, I wrote about this in my story, but Avery actually got off to a slow start. Challenged, you know, in an effort to kind of motivate her, I think. And I'm not exactly sure what he said to her, but, you know, it definitely worked, didn't it?
It did. I mean, he basically told her, you know, Avery, here's what you need to do when we need you. And she listened and did, you know, what she was asked to do. And sure enough, she has an act to be where she needs to be to put the ball away, and she did. And that first goal was a great shot.
Oh, yeah. Well, your team had four girls named the all-tournament team. Courtney Kovacs was selected the captain of the squad, and she was joined on the team by Bergen, Porter, and Alana Pennington. And I thought you had some other girls who could. So many spots on the team, and they have to recognize players from other teams as well. You know, but talk about Courtney's performance a little bit. She was just a great leader for the team, wasn't she?
Oh, she is. She was all year, you know, and she's a great leader. She is fearless back there, and she gets the job done. And, you know, going back to the all-tournament team, and I think the girls will tell you the same. The awards they get individually, it's for the whole team because they are a great, great, close-knit family.
Well, Peter, I know that you are retiring from teaching, so how many years have you taught in Ankeny?
I just finished my 30th year.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, you've had a long and successful career coaching here in Ankeny. You were a longtime kicking coach for the Ankeny football team, and you produced several Division I kickers. You also coached the boys' soccer team for about a decade, I think, and now you've had a successful run with the Centennial girls. You know, and if you are done coaching, that was certainly a great way for you to go out. And, you know, there might be a chance that you could come back next year and still coach?
Yes, there is. Actually, I will be back to coach, and I just have to resign first because it's an IPERS thing, and I got to wait 3 months before I have to reapply. Oh, that's if they'll hire me, of course. But, yeah, I enjoy the game. I enjoy coaching with Chris Allen, and you know, the girls and the tradition we have had, or Coach Allen actually started, but we keep passing it down, and it's fun.
Well, with a goalkeeper like Kate coming back, along with several other starters, you know, I'm sure it is appealing for you to come back and make another round of title, isn't it?
It is, and I've been telling the girls, you know, the last few days, listen, it's a good, great thing to have players back, you know, that were, you know, good on the team, but a lot of girls are back that didn't start but played well, and the saying I believe in is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work, so we got to work hard and come together and see what we can do.
Well, certainly a great year. It was fun recapping it with you here today, Peter. So thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, Banker Mid-America, Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. He is Joe Balvans. Joe, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
You bet. Well, you guys had a tough loss in the first game of the doubleheader last night, and we'll talk about that game here in a minute. But your team then rebounded with a 7-1 win in the nightcap that allowed you to salvage a split. And I know you told me last night that you're proud of the guys for the way they fought and battled to win that game. And it wasn't easy to bounce back from that first game, was it?
No. Anytime you take an hour and a half bus ride up there and we were running a little late, kind of felt like maybe something was a little off, and it was maybe a little flat early, and dug ourselves a big hole. Had an opportunity to win that ball game. We just didn't get it done. But one thing that I do know is that, you know, the guys sitting to my left here, Tandon and Sammy and Dylan and Easton, those guys have been around and have won a lot of ball games, and they know what it takes to win ball games. They know what it takes to win close ball games. They know how to take a ball game and extend the lead and put a team away. And that's evident in their senior leadership and how they go about. We talk about not getting too high, not getting too low, just staying even keeled and leading by example. And then they've done a great job of that. I'm really proud of them. Even Isaiah Otten is a kid that has stepped up, and we needed a guy to fill a role in the DH spot. And, you know, he's playing really well there and just battling his tail off at the plate. So, again, our seniors have done a really good job of leading, and you know, we're very inexperienced. Even the seniors that are out there, you know, a lot of them, this is their first, you know, 15, 17 games they've played as a varsity player.
Right. Well, Sammy Andrews and Brock Adamson combined on a four-hitter in that win. Andrews had 11 strikeouts over the first five innings. He now has 38 Ks and 20 in the third innings this season.
When he commands his fastball and works ahead in the count, and he did that. Tandon was catching him. There were times when he was absolutely brilliant, and then we just kind of have a little moment where we'd lose focus or we couldn't find the strike zone, and we'd get two outs quickly, and then we couldn't get off the field. And unfortunately, that elevates pitch counts in a hurry when you do it several innings. You know, a couple 25-pitch innings, all of a sudden we're at 50, 60 pitches. We've got to get somebody loose. Brock is somebody who I've been impressed with since last year. We brought him along to a couple JV games, and he showed flashes of a great deal of potential. And he has been, again, has really good natural run on his fastball and commands the strikes and has really a lot of confidence in himself and the stuff that he puts out there. And he's a big, strong kid. I think he plays middle or outside linebacker on the football team. You know, it's nice to have, you know, the junior Alex Grease, 6'3", 6'4", Brock from the right side, Brock from the left side. I've been really, really happy. And again, Sammy battled. He had really good stuff. Almost unhittable. And then we just kind of get into a little rut and you come back out of it. When I sent Adamson back out in the sixth, Sam was at like 95, 97 pitches. And there just wasn't enough wiggle room there for him to work out of something. And it was a tight ball game. I told you we had that little fluky thing with the botched throw back to the pitcher. We ended up getting a double play out of it. That's a little bit of a fluke, but got us out of a tough spot. I don't know if I've ever seen that. But I get really, really impressed with, you know, Adamson. He's just calm, cool, collected, pretty happy-go-lucky kind of kid, and makes our bullpen much, much deeper, pitching staff.
Well, your offense was led in that game by Jameson Patton, who went 2-for-3 and hit a 3-run homer in the sixth inning to extend the lead to 7-1. With 3 home runs. Now he transferred to Ankeny in the spring from Des Moines Roosevelt, and considering all the talent that you lost from last year's team, you know, he's really been a huge addition to the team, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has been a huge team, if you, addition to our team, and he's such a good leader, and he's so humble, and he is one of the most athletic high school kids I've ever had a chance to work with, and again, he's awesome. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I think, you know, the commitment, we'll talk about that later, but his commitment to Iowa State kind of takes a lot of weight off his shoulders. And he seems, you know, he was really relaxed last night and happy, but, you know, does a great job up the middle for us. Really strong arm, athletic, you know, moves very, very well. And just kind of, not super vocal, but just leads by how he goes about his business. And he's really coachable. We're working on a bunch of things right now that he probably hasn't worked on before. You know, we're trying to hit that baseball hard the other way, and he comes to practice every day and puts in his time and has a great attitude about it. We're happy he's here. We're not going to send him back. He does a really good job.
Well, yeah, you mentioned his commitment. He did verbally commit to Iowa State yesterday, and not that he wasn't already focused on baseball, but, you know, getting that weight off his shoulders, do you think he can maybe even be more focused now on baseball?
I think so. We were planning on not having him on Saturday for the Hagen and then not having him on for the Prangy because he was going to Iowa and Nebraska, I believe. But now that he's committed, heck, I got a shortstop for Saturday, I kind of talked to him. I know he had some phone calls and some people he had to connect with the next couple days here, but he's just like, yeah, I'm excited that it's over with. He goes, I'm happy with my choice. And again, he's going to be very successful in whatever he chooses to do, but he is a tremendous athlete.
Well, in the opener last night, you guys trailed 7-0 at one point, but you scored 2 runs in the fifth and then erupted for 6 more in the seventh. You took an 8-7 lead on a 2-run homer by Tamden Webb Tate, his first of the season. And it appeared that you guys, you know, had all the momentum, and Fort Dodge was on a 7-game losing skid. And, you know, they had to be reeling at that point. But then, to their credit, they came back. Eli Elsbecker hit a 3-run homer in the bottom of the inning to win the game. You know, boy, that last inning had to be kind of an emotional roller coaster for you guys, huh?
Yeah, it really was. We fought really hard to be able to come back and on, and, you know, Grease had some pitches left, and, you know, I think he gave up a hit, or I can't remember if it was a hit or a walk. First guy got on and done what he hadn't thrown for a while because he battled a little illness the week before. So give a senior a chance to close one out and walk, and a ball hit over the road. And so that happens sometimes. Good baseball players, Fort Dodge returns, I think, 6 guys, and the first 6 hitters are returning players. They're a scrappy little baseball team. I know they lost a few in a row, but they are just as competitive as anybody else we've played all year. Milwaukee Northwest and Centennial and the other teams in our pod. I was really impressed with the effort and the fight they gave us all night long, and they probably wore like 10 pitches. They get up on top of the plate and whatever they can do. We gave them way too many free base runners last night between walks and HBPs. As we go closer to tournament time, we've got to clean that up. And you can't give up that many free base runners and come out on top when it matters.
A doubleheader with Northwest, and on Thursday you'll host a rematch against the Wolves. You know, that could go a long way in determining the conference champion. So do you know yet, you know, who your pitchers are going to be on Thursday, or you're still trying to get your rotation set up?
On Thursday we'll likely we have a game with Carlisle on Wednesday. Plan is to go Dunwoody and Adamson on Thursday. See what's going on. Again, we have little mishap with Clevedence's pitching hand last night on a tag play at first, so I would doubt he's going to be available unless something miraculously changes in the next 24 hours. And that's, again, he's at the plate. And so that may hinder us a little bit, but that's kind of the motto we have in the dugout is just, we work hard every day because you're an injury away from maybe being called upon to contribute and help your team out. And you need to prepare, like tomorrow could be the day, and we're going to have to shift some pieces around, but I think we'll figure it out. We've got some guys that are working really hard at practice.
Well, I know coming into the season that you felt like your pitching staff would be one of the team's strengths, and it certainly has been. Alex Grease got a no decision in the first game last night, but he has a 3-0 record with a 3.21 ERA. You mentioned Jack Clevedon's. Both him and Dylan Schley are 2-0. You know, and Andrews and Adams and Dunwoody have all played key roles as well. You guys have a team ERA of 3.22. Open.
Yeah, they go out, and I feel like we've got school teams can say, and you know, there's no longer, nobody throws 97 mile an hour anymore like we used to have, but they're still really good high school pitchers. I think, you know, it's easy to forget that when you deal with high-end guys like Brody and Weston in the past few years, that, you know, you don't have to throw 90 mile an hour to get high school kids out. And Jack's going to be a kid that I think eventually gets in the 90s as he grows and matures. Brock has some just natural talent. Now that ball just like a cannonball comes out. It's heavy and it's got run. And Grease is another kid that I think as we continue to go towards, you know, becoming an 18, 19-year-old kid, as his body continues to physically mature, there's still more room to grow there in his stuff too. And as his off-speed stuff sharpens up, he's gonna be a handful on the mound the next year and a half for us.
Well, offensively, this team obviously doesn't have the same firepower that last year's squad did. You know, you mentioned Brody and Weston. Of course, Chase Bauer as well was on that team. You know, those are three of the best players that Yankees ever seen. You know, you just don't replace guys like that. But you have found a way to average nearly 8 runs per game. Tamden Webb-Tate leads the team in a number of categories, and he's really taken on a leadership role this season, hasn't he?
Tamden has, and been playing for us since he was a sophomore, and he and I had that conversation the other day. If you were to watch him play, he looks like a different hitter than he was last year. He's kind of got out of that mindset that I can still hit everything hard to the left side. If you're going to give him something middle away, last night he hit a ball to the right center wall, hit a double off the right center wall, just absolutely smoke rocket off the wall. You know, you can ask him here in a little bit, but you know, a year ago or 18 months, he probably doesn't have that. And that's on him. He's been willing to, and it's not like, I think there's a tough adjustment from when you're playing youth baseball to even freshman baseball, 10th grade. At the varsity level, if you get an inside fastball from the IML, it's probably a mistake or the dude's throwing really hard. So what can we do with those pitches on the outer third of the plate? And that's what we work on a lot is, you know, hammer the mistake on the inside, but you have to be able to handle that pitch and probably another baseball out because a lot of umpires will give that. So you can't expect them to do it in the game and not, I mean, it's one of our main focuses every time we hit is we're staying away. You've got to not get yourself out here. And he has been one of the guys that buys in. And when you see one of your seniors who's played for you for 3 years buy in and go, the rest of them don't really have a choice. There are times when he takes hacks and it doesn't look all that great, and then he comes back and just smokes a line drive down the line or something like that. And he's going to be, I think, he's going to have to lead us moving next year and the year after. And as he matures, again, he's still, you know, he's only 16 years old, and he can do some things that a lot of 16-year-olds only dream of. So I think the sky's the limit on that one, and he's a hard worker, and he has very much baseball focused mindset, and he's going to continue to push himself and get better. And you know, as guys like Tamden and Dylan and Andrews and Dunwoody move on, he's going to have to be the next round of leader that makes Ankeny baseball go.
Well, your team is already in the thick of the conference race, and I'm sure you'd like to defend the title that you won last year with a perfect 20-0 record. But Northwest is obviously a big obstacle in its first season as a varsity program. And I imagine, you know, you're probably going to see their top pitchers on Thursday, don't you think? I mean, Watts is having a great year.
Yeah, he's tough, and he kind of, if you haven't seen him pitch, it's like 30, 45 seconds between pitches. And again, he does his own thing, and he keeps you off balance. But we battled him last time. We lost 3-2. Put together some good at-bats. You know, it was tough on the road. Maybe we'll take another shot at him. I haven't seen who they played this week. I don't know who they played.
They swept Marshalltown last night. I think he threw two innings, and then they pulled him.
Yeah, so that could be a thing where a high-end kid, and he's going to create, I don't know what his pitch count deal is or what, but if he only threw two innings, we'd probably see him on Thursday, I would bet. But, yeah, he's very talented. There's the kid from Dowling. There's him. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else that's really good. But you know, the nice part about our schedule is it prepares us very well for the postseason. And I'd much rather go see pitching like that than go see, you know, 70 miles an hour. Becomes almost counterproductive to what you're trying to work on. Nothing against Marshalltown. It's
right.
They're in spot right now with where they are and who they've got out. But I'd much rather go against guys throwing like the lefties from Dowling sitting 82, 83, 84 and going up and battling and making our guys better, tougher, more resilient, because that's who you have to beat, right? You have to be able to compete against the Jake Pembles of the world and the Larsons and the Watts if you want to make it to Iowa City or in beyond.
Well, yeah, I know you don't know yet what your sub-state bracket's going to look like, but, you know, have you seen enough from your team, you know, to feel like the squad has the potential to get back to the state tournament? I mean, this would be, what, 4 years in a row?
Yeah, if we be the fourth trip. Yeah, I mean, we're continuing to grow. I think, you know, regardless of if you get a one seed or a two seed or a four seed, we certainly have the pitching depth to play the Friday, Monday, Wednesday. That doesn't concern me at all. It's right now, when we get ourselves in trouble, we're doing a couple things. We're giving too many free base runners. We're giving up extra bags on defensive mistakes, or we're not communicating in the field. You know, for some reason, we've had trouble with just kind of strange fly balls that fall in, basically due to lack of aggressiveness or lack of communication or talk. Just some things that the inexperienced players can go through. Instead of just going and taking over, you know, sometimes hesitate. I say it all the time on the bases, hesitate means stay, right? We'll live to play another pitch. But I'm hoping that over the next, you know, we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then we've got, well, we got six games next week. By then, we've got to get those little hiccups out of the way so we can trust each other. And, you know, I've been moving some people around. You know, we've had Schley at second base. We'd have Clevis second base. Had a couple. He's been playing first. Agan's been playing first. Agan's been playing some third and stuff like that. So it's not back like when Bauer and Carter Smith had been out there together for 3 years. That kind of stuff takes time.
Sure. You know?
And JMO's been doing a great job of leading. And, you know, he killed Ben Sandvig in a no man's land fly ball a couple weeks ago. I was worried we were going to lose. I wouldn't want that guy to hit me on purpose.
Yeah.
He was just trying to catch a fly ball. But, yeah, we'll get there. It's just, it's a work in progress, like I said at the beginning of the season. And it's trusting themselves and being confident in their ability to go make that play. And we wouldn't put them out there if we didn't trust them.
Well, Joe, I know you're a big Twins fan like me, and I told you the last Wednesday I went up to Target Field and I saw the Twins actually get a rare win over the Yankees, so that was a lot of fun. But I want to get your thoughts on the Twins real quickly. You know, how surprised are you that they're in first place?
I haven't gotten to watch as much as I'd like with Coach Baker, and I have a 7U team, Coach Pitch, and that we coach, got these guys in JV. So, but when I can, you know, I try to catch it late at night or catch it on quick pitch. I really like the pieces that they have. It used to be like when the Twins were good, they were kind of getting away with somebody that
right.
maybe was having just just kind of a fluky season or something. But this core of offensive players seems really, really good. And I've always thought that Arise was a guy that be really good. And he's again, just a baseball player. He's phenomenal. He can play anywhere. But now they got him playing first because Sano's hurt. It's too bad about Royce Lewis because is that an ACL I saw?
I think so, yeah.
And he's that piece that kind of will eventually allow them to move on from change of scenery. And then I really like the young pitchers they've got to add. They've got to go get somebody at the break with no spring training and stuff like that. I think the prices will hopefully be a little more affordable. You know, if they're in that spot, whether it's, you know, like a Luis Castillo from the Reds, or they can go did he come with Paddock, right? The reliever they got with Paddock. You can't think of, he's been pitching well too, and that was kind of unexpected. He was just kind of like a toss in, and they've got the young kid that throws triple digits. So, you know, it's almost too bad that they let Gratterall go to the Dodgers for Kenton Medea, because they'd have quite the pen if they would. Point where it's probably time to say first to know that what can you get for him, because I but again this theory, right? If we send him to Boston, he's going to turn into a monster. It might happen. Sometimes change of scenery helps guys. But again, it's been fun. I'm a Max Kepler guy. I like Max, and Buxton is phenomenal.
It's so fun to watch. Yeah, we were sitting out in the outfield right above Buxton. It was fun to
cool ballpark, isn't it?
It is,
not a bad seat in the house.
Well, hey, Joe, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate the time.
I appreciate you having us.
Community College in Missouri next year. He is Tamden Webb-Tate. Tamden, how you doing?
No.
I'm doing good. Well, thanks for coming in. You know, I wasn't up at Fort Dodge last night, but I was over at the Centennial's doubleheader against Ames, and it was brutally hot out there. You know,
it was all right. It was a little humid. You know, we battled through. It was pretty hot early in the day, so we got out there pretty sweaty and everything, but we got it going.
Well, it's
got
to be tough to be catching in those conditions, I would think.
Yeah. Luckily, I got to catch game two, but yeah, it was pretty tough for our young catcher, Max, I think so.
Well, we talked with the coach about the two games last night. You had the big home run in the first game to put your team ahead. Did you know right away when you connected that it was out of the park?
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of waiting on that pitch and got it. And so
what was coach's message to you guys afterwards? Did you just have to try to flush that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think we battled pretty hard in the first game, and you know, it was unfortunate that they got that last home run. And you know, we had to get ready for the next game. Your mind, and I think that was the message. And we just got to battle that much harder the second game.
Well, you guys then rebounded to win the nightcap, and you got a home run from Jameson Patton to pretty much put the game out of reach. We talked with Coach about the impact that Jameson has had on the team. What was your reaction when you first heard that Jameson was transferring to Ankeny? Were you pretty excited?
Yeah, I was super excited. We played him in football, actually, early in the year, so I knew him, knew he's a great athlete, and was really excited to see him on the baseball field. You know, we played football too, and I know he hit for a pretty good average, and, you know, he got a couple hits against us, I think, so I think he'd be a great addition for the team.
Well, you've obviously stepped up to lead the team in a number of categories this season. You know, coming into the year, did you feel like, you know, you would have to carry a heavier load after losing all those great players from last year's team?
Was a huge change for me.
Well, I know you guys will host Carlisle in a non-conference game on Wednesday, and then you'll have the big rematch against Waukee Northwest on Thursday. Do you feel like you guys, you know, need to sweep that doubleheader in order to win the conference title, or do you think a split will still keep you, you know, in pretty decent shape?
Well, I'm always hoping for a sweep. Split might get it done, but we're really aiming for a sweep right now because, you know, last game, it was a pretty close game, and I think we probably could have came out with a win in the first game. So, yeah, we're just looking for get two W's, hopefully.
Wolves' top pitcher, Anthony Watts, he had a four-hitter with 13 strikeouts, and he currently has a 4-0 record with a 0.28 ERA, and he's averaging about two strikeouts per inning. What makes him so tough?
I think going back to, like, his tempo, definitely. I think he takes a good amount of time on the mound, and I think that gets hitters on their heels and kind of gets you thinking a little bit. And also, you know, that fastball, it's got some life to it, and he locates it up and his curveball over at times, and, you know, he can really get you off balance.
Let's talk about your pitchers a little bit. Now, last year you guys had the ace and Brody Bragg, who was pretty much unhittable. Do you feel like there's a good, you know, enough good arms on the staff to make another run of the state tournament?
Yeah, definitely. This year, if anything, we may even have more depth. I think we got guys that are going to have to grit out games. We don't get just one hitters, no hitters this year. You know, we got guys that are going to have to go out there and locate spots, stuff like that, and, you know, trust their defense to work behind them. And I think with Brock, Grease, some of those guys, I think we got the arms for it, and just with confidence and kind of leaders helping them boost them up. Yeah.
Of course, this is your third year on the varsity. You know, you have a lot of experience behind the plate. So has coach let you?
Yeah, I think I am calling the games right now. Yeah, I think I've done a pretty decent job back there and haven't had any issues so far.
Well, Tamden, there's a familiar name at the top of the Class 4A rankings right now. Of course, that's Johnston. You guys dropped a 4-2 decision at Johnston on May 27th. And, of course, your team has lost to the Dragons at the state tournament each of the last 3 years. You had that quarterfinal loss in 2019 and the championship game in 20 and the semifinals last year. So I'm guessing you'd like another crack at them before your career comes to an end, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to end my career with a W against them. They've been kind of one of the last 3 years, and we're hoping to get them.
I mentioned earlier that you are headed to St. Charles to play next year. When do you have to report to school?
Well, I'll be moving in around there.
Well, I'm guessing your goal is to go to St. Charles and have a good year or two and then maybe move on to the D1 or D2 level, huh?
Me and just hoping to stand out at St. Charles and do my thing.
Well, you're having a great season thus far. Looking forward to seeing you guys play on Thursday. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. Professional support and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30. Well, guest tonight is a realtor at Coldwell Banker, and she has been on the podcast before. She is Tiffany Rummelhart.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk a little bit about the housing market, I just wanted to ask you briefly about your son, Gavin. He's a senior on the Centennial baseball team, and I was over there on Friday night when the Jaguars celebrated their senior night with a 9-1 win over Sioux City West, and Gavin got the start at third base, and he drove in the first run of the game, so that was pretty cool. Almost over.
Well, it's hard to believe. Fortunately for him and for the family, he's still going to go on to play some baseball in college. So it's been a pretty exciting senior year.
Yeah, I understand he's planning to go to Midland University to play there. So you'll have some more games to go to.
Oh, yes. Yes. Fun.
How far is Midland from here?
Midland's about 2 hours, 40 minutes.
Okay, that's not too bad. Well, with the spec home there, so that's about completed now. Is that right? Or you have a date that it'll be done?
This one, it's our Easy Go Ranch plan, and it's a little over 1,600 square feet. It's got three bedrooms. Two of those are upstairs, one's in the finished basement, and we have a completion date on that one of July 8th, so really just right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
2203 Southwest Vintage Parkway. So just really close to, obviously, the district and everything the district has to offer, within walking distance, quite honestly, to all the restaurants and shops and anything that you could pretty much need over there.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that are interested in getting into that location.
It's had some great activity lately, so we're pretty excited, and I think it's going to go pretty quick, so fingers crossed.
Well, it's obviously really hot today, but is the summertime usually a good time? Market. I mean, imagine people want to move in the summertime rather than the winter, right?
Yes, absolutely. If they can help it, they're definitely going to move in the spring or summer. Definitely more so than the winter. But yeah, it's been a pretty good housing market. It's brought in a lot of surprises, but it's still, you know, as far as we can tell, it's still staying pretty strong. So it's been good.
Well, I know we've talked with you or maybe some of the other realtors recently about all over 5% now.
Last time I checked, it is, you know, and there's so many predictions. They're predicting it's going to go a little bit higher, but we're hearing predictions that housing values are still going to continue to increase. So really, I just tell people, don't let the interest rates scare you, because the values of the homes are still going to hold strong.
So with this soaring inflation that we have, does this affect the housing prices then as well too?
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just kind of been a surprise market for all of us. But yeah, it does have an effect on it.
What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me. My phone number is 515-669-2037. Welcome to give me a call, and happy to answer any questions and take you over there for a private showing and let you see everything.
All right, Tiffany. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we finished up with Coldwell Banker Realtor Tiffany Rummelhart. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.